Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's great to be here. I've known Brent for a long, long time, and I'm just honored that I get a chance to pinch hit for him today and share a few things with you. Before we begin, and I recognize a lot of you and appreciate seeing you again, I want to open us in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your love. Thank you for gathering us together to share in your love and in your goodness. And right now, we just dedicate this time to you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, and motivate us, Lord, to be difference makers in this community and in this world for you and for your glory. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I got to admit, as a chaplain, and for 20 years I was chaplain for the Seattle Supersonics, 17 years Husky football. I'm currently in my 10th year with Husky basketball. My wife Karen, she'll be here a little later, has served as chaplain for the Husky women's team for 15 years. And I want to say I recognize a Duck fan in the back, and I've heard there's some Cougar fans. That's all cool. I love you. We're all together here. It's all good, and you've whooped on us lately, and so I got to humbly say, you know, hey, here we are. But when you work with athletes, you never know what you're going to get. And after one of our Husky Bible studies one time, I said to one of the guys, hey, what's your favorite verse? And he looked at me and he said, Roar, it's the one that says, Our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name? And I looked at him, I said, it doesn't exactly go like that, but the Bible does say that God does know your very name, the hair on your head, and all that good stuff. But anyway, we got a good chuckle out of that. And then at one of the Sonic Chapels, I said to one of the guys, so what's your favorite verse? He goes, Roar, easy one. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I've got all that I want. And the dude had just signed like a $38 million contract, so I couldn't really argue with him. But, you know, I said, it doesn't exactly go like that. But the best one was, for years I'd prayed that Gary Payton would come to chapel. And never did. And then finally, one time he shows up for chapel. We go through the message. At the end, I always call on one of the players to share the Lord's Prayer. And that particular time, a guy named Steve Scheffler said he'd do it. So we're getting ready to pray. And all of a sudden, I get elbowed in the side. And Gary Payton says, Roar, I bet you $20 he doesn't know the Lord's Prayer. I quietly looked at him. I said, I'm the chaplain. But you're on. So, gets real quiet. All of a sudden, this is what we hear. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It gets better. Peyton says to me, man, I can't believe he really knew it. I'll pay you the $20 later. So, you never know what you're going to get. So, I'm thrilled to share with all of you who are kind of going to connect with me a little bit. But I love having fun. I love walking in faith with God because he changed my life. He's given me a joy and a love. And this morning, the theme is bold. And Pastor Brent has been speaking on bold. And I'm going to kind of share a few things that relate boldness to our prayer life and to our faith walk with the Lord. And I just want to say, I'm a Christian today because two individuals boldly reached out to me. One of them was in high school, right before my during my junior year, and a friend brought a magazine to school called The Christian Athlete. And she said, Mike, I think you'd enjoy this. Now, I was a good guy, but I was a wild guy on a football field. And I wasn't the best sportsman out there, that kind of thing. She handed me this magazine. Football player on the cover, I began to read the articles, and these individuals talked about how God was the center of their life. How God had given them a meaning, a purpose, a fulfillment in their life that they hadn't experienced before. And their identity was not based on their performance, how many home runs they hit, baskets they scored, touchdowns they made. Their identity was in their relationship with the Lord. That kind of got my attention. That same friend gave me a brochure. I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp in Ashland, Oregon in 1972 that summer. And I met a guy, my huddle leader was a guy who introduced himself simply as, Hi, I'm Rhino. And I'd never met anybody by the name of Rhino, but his real name was Mike Ryan. He was an offensive guard for the USC Trojans. And during that week, that guy simply cared enough about me that he shared the love of Jesus Christ with me. Talked to me about the fact that God loved me, had a game plan for my life. That I and all of us miss the mark. We fall short of God's glory. Quarter number three, he said, is that God sent a perfect substitute. And the fourth quarter of faith was that we have an opportunity to join God's team. And he asked me if I'd be willing to do that. And at first I said, no, not ready for that. It was later that I took that step and invited Christ into my life. But those two individuals boldly reached out to me. And because of their boldness, I stand before you today as a believer. Just simply one individual who has yielded my life to God and to his leadership, and I'm thankful for that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, it says, having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. And those individuals boldly reached out and shared with me. And this morning, I'm going to share an acrostic using the word bold. And I'm an old linebacker from the Huskies. I got hit in the head a lot. It just simply helps me stay on track. And I hope you can relate to it. So the B in bold is this, is that God wants us to boldly seek him. To boldly seek him. And relating to prayer, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I feel like my prayers must sound like this to God. Dear God, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. Anybody relate? You know, sometimes we go before the Lord and it's kind of, we got our list. And we go down and we just, all these things we want God to help us with. And the cool thing is God's okay with that. And yet, in his word, he instructs us that there's a better way to approach that. And I like to think of the little, just the word act, A-C-T. The A is adoration. Let's go before the Lord and just say, God, we adore you. We love you. We're grateful. The C in act is confession. Say, God, I've messed it up. I've jacked this up. I've stepped out of bounds. I've done things that aren't real pleasing to you. Help me get back on track. And then the T is just thankfulness. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and bringing me back in tune with you. And I really love that God is able to do that. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore draw with confidence or boldness before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and grace and help in our time of need. And God really wants to meet us at our place. He wants to meet us where we are. He invites us to come before him. And grace is an amazing thing. And the word grace translates unmerited favor. And basically, I like to look at it like this. We don't deserve the many wonderful blessings that God gives us most of the time. And yet God chooses to bestow his blessings upon us. And not only that, God invites us to cast our troubles, our concerns, to lay our garbage at his feet. And I think it's 1 Peter 5:6. It says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And I don't know about you, I don't have a lot of friends who just say, Roar, dump all your garbage on me. Anybody have a friend who just says, bring it all? I mean, they're rare, right? But God says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And I just think that is so amazing, and I'm so thankful for that. At the end of the day, prayer is simply this. It's communication with God. It's speaking our heart with God. It's talking and sharing with him. But before you can do that, you got to know God's phone number. And in this day of iPhones and all this fancy stuff, anybody know God's phone number? Anybody know it? I'll tell you what it is today. Jeremiah 33:3. Anybody old enough in this crowd to remember when phone numbers were like letters? Emerson 37768 EM, I see that. Yeah, back in the day, you young kids, that's how we did phone numbers. Anyway, Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call upon me, and I will answer you, declares the Lord. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. And I love that. God says, call upon me. And the key is he will answer us any time of the day, night. He is there and willing and able to meet us at our point of need. To not only do that, but to tell us great and mighty things which we do not understand. And God has so much for us, and he wants us to seek him. And I think many times we simply need to just do this. Take a time out. Take a time out from the hecticness of life and simply pray. And I love one of the first verses I ever memorized when I first gave my life to Christ was Philippians 4:6-7. And in the Living Bible, it says this. It says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Be sure to tell God your needs, but don't forget to thank him for his answers. It goes on to say, if you'll do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to give it up. Sometimes we feel like we've got to, we're not tough if we don't just shoulder all the burdens and all the stuff. And God simply invites us again to just give that to Him, to cast it upon Him, and to share that. So take a time out and pray. Another thing we can do is take a time out and open the Word of God and read it. You know, sometimes it's tough, we're busy, but I have never once been disappointed after having spent time in God's Word. God always has something, some verse that jumps out, that encourages my heart, that lifts my spirit, that encourages me to keep going on. And then scripture memory, just taking a verse. There's a verse in the Bible that says, Jesus wept. Everybody say that, Jesus wept. You just memorize a verse. There you go, you know. I'm going to share another one later that's pretty easy to memorize. Fellowship. Another thing is fellowship. Again, David hit on it. Thank you for being here this morning. There's a lot of places you could be. Thank you for taking time to gather together, to fellowship, to worship, to share one another's burdens. And fellowship, I think so many times we think it's like after church having a little cookie and coffee together. That's all cool. But fellowship is like getting down and dirty with each other. It's like sharing life. And I have some guys in my life who I've been able to share my burdens, my cares, my struggles with, and them as well. And that's fellowship. That's discipleship. That's being together. Let's take time to do that, to connect and do that. And the cool thing is that the Bible says this in 1 Chronicles 16:9. Says, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth so that He might strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. You see, as we boldly seek the Lord, God is there, and He wants to strengthen us, equip us, and use us. And that's His part of the bargain. And so it's all about relationship. It's all about relationship, and that's the most important thing to God. He wants us in relationship with us. And the great thing is that He simply chooses to love us. And if you don't hear or nothing else I say this morning connects with you, the most important thing I could share with you is this, is that God loves you. And it was funny. I was talking to Brent, and he said, Roar, when you come and share, he goes, you know, don't get too theological or too deep with anybody. I was like, dude, you're talking to me, you know. I said, the greatest theological truth I have ever learned or known is simply this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you know what? That's where it all starts, is just that realization. God loves you. God loves you. And He loves you just the way you are, okay? A buddy of mine wrote a song years ago at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, and it went like this. I won't sing it because I won't. The Bible says, sing with make a joyful noise. It's joyful, but you notice I was in the back there, you know. Anyway, it went like this. He loves you just the way you are today, but much too much to let you stay that way. But when He's changed your heart from what it was before, He still won't love you one bit more. Isn't that good? Because God simply loves us right where we are, right where you are. With all our baggage, with all the trials, struggles, God simply chooses to love us. And that is the good news. The O in bold, in the acrostic, B-O. Omit distractions. I couldn't come up with anything better. Omit distractions. Oh, tough word. What's the deal? Life can be crazy. Life can be busy. Life can be fast-paced. There's a lot of things vying for our time, for our attention, for our energy. And there's a lot of things that demand our time, our talents, our resources. And this little thing like sin creeps in every once in a while and gets us off track. And it's just, there's things that we need to do in our life that omit those distractions. And Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. I've been trying to memorize this. I'm going to try to go with it. It says this, therefore, since there is such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside the sin and those things that easily entangle us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Goes on to say, consider Him so that you will not grow weary and will not lose heart. And to me, that is such a powerful portion of Scripture. And let me just break it down real quick. It says, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. That word entangle. Also in another version says entraps us. And it's like the word picture of a bear trap. Okay, and we're waltzing around in the snow and boom, that thing snaps on your leg. Good luck getting out of that, okay? That's what sin wants to do. It wants to entangle us. It wants to ensnare us. It wants to trap us. So another key to this whole deal, it says, run with endurance the race set before us. Life is tough. And I know when I first became a Christian, a guy said to me, Roar, the Christian life is not a short 40-yard sprint. It's not a 440-yard dash. It is a long-distance marathon. And it requires everything, you know. And it says, run with endurance the race set before you. And Luke 21:19. And I'm part of Run to Win Outreach. My wife and I started 22 years ago. We run Christian sports camps for kids, like your soccer deal. I love that. We have 83 camps this summer from Stanwood to Olympia for kids 6 to 14. And we'll have over 4,000 kids probably again this summer come to our camp. Over half of them come on scholarships. And we do 10 camps in the inner city of Seattle for free for kids. It's my passion. I love it. It's what fires me up every day. But one of the verses we try to share with the kids, Luke 21:19. It says this, by your perseverance, you will win. Everybody say that. By your perseverance, you will win. There you go. How many of you want to memorize that? How many think you can memorize? By your perseverance, you will win. Okay, get that locked in. I love it. Then it goes on to say this, fix your eyes on Jesus. There's the key. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus, it says, is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the beginner and the finisher of our faith. John 15:5 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Then it goes on to say this, for apart from me, you can do nothing. But when we connect our life with Jesus Christ, we can do amazing things. We can do great and mighty things if we'll only allow ourselves to do that. And then it goes on to say, consider him so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. Galatians 6:9 puts it this way. It says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap if you faint not. God wants us to keep going. And you know what? How many of you, I mean, from time to time, it's tough, isn't it? Isn't it tough sometimes to keep going in this marathon of faith? It is tough, but God has the answers. He is the solution. He is the one who wants to fill us with his love and with his life. And then the L in bold is live out your faith. Live out your faith. James 1:22 puts it this way. It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And when I think of that, I think of sitting at Oak Lake Elementary in third grade, and I'm looking at the clock, and I can't wait for 3 o'clock to come on, because then I can go play baseball with my buddies, you know, and I keep looking up at the clock, and it will not move, you know, and the teacher's talking, and it's just going in one ear and out the other, because I'm locked, I'm ready to go hit the ball. And I think this verse is a great just encouragement to us. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. God wants us to live out our faith. When I was at that Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, I'll put the finishing touches on that story. Mike Ryan said to me, would you be willing to join God's team? I said, I'm not ready yet. Because I knew what he was asking me for was to make a commitment. But I went through the rest of that day thinking hard about that. And that night, one of the speakers got up at the assembly and he shared a verse out of Isaiah 53:6. And I'd never held a Bible. My parents, we never went to church. You know, just we're doing our thing. And that's just what we were doing. So I'm like, Isaiah 53:6, you know, what's that? And it said this, like sheep, each one of us has gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. And I kind of sat back in my seat and I'm like, seriously? Like, I'm a linebacker. I bite the heads off a little sheep, you know? Get real here. And then all of a sudden, I just like, all I can say is I just felt like, whoa, something. And I began to think and I realized that I was nothing more, nothing less than a little lamb who had gone astray, who was trying to be like the deal, and it was all about me, and I needed a savior. And I went back to my dorm room and I got on my knees that night and I called out to God for the first time in my life in an honest and sincere way. And I said, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me so much that you died on a cross for my sins. Right now, I pray and invite you to come into my life, change me, Make me the kind of man you want me to be. In Christ's name, I pray. And I didn't fully know what I was doing. I just know this. When I got up off my knees, I felt a sense of just joy, peace, contentment. I felt like the weight had been lifted off my shoulder. I went to bed that night. I hit the pillow. I was out. Next morning, they wake you at an FCA camp at 6 a.m. with the fire alarm going off to get you up to do calisthenics. How many of you think we were happy about that? Man, I was just like grabbing my pillow, didn't want to get up those mornings. That morning, it went off. I couldn't wait. I jumped out of bed. I got my stuff on. I went down. I walked out. I looked up into the sky. I said, God, thank you for loving me. If I can ever serve you, I want to be available. And then I went and found Mike Ryan, Rhino. I went up. He was 6'3", 285-pound offensive guard for the USC Trojans. They were the best team in the world at the time. They won a national championship that season before. I went up to him. I said, Rhino, I did it. He goes, you did what? I said, last night I prayed and asked Christ into my life. This big 6'3", 285-pound USC Trojan grabbed me and started hugging me and crying. And that freaked me out. I got to be real serious here, man. I'm like, and the next thing you know, I'm like, I'm grabbing him and I'm crying. And all that to say, he then said, Mike, I am so proud of you. I believe you have made the greatest decision anybody can ever make by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. And then he said this. He goes, in the days, months, years to come, you're going to be able to quote the scripture and carry a Bible around and all that, and that's all cool. He said, but the key is to walk the talk, to live out your faith, to be that sermon that somebody desperately needs to hear simply by how you conduct your life. Never had a greater challenge given to me than that day, that early morning in August down in Ashland, Oregon. Walk the talk. And you know what? God is about the business of equipping us to walk the talk. A.B. Simpson said this, God is preparing his heroes. When the opportunity comes, he can fit them into their places in a moment, and the world will wonder where they came from. Let me repeat that. God is preparing his heroes. When the opportunity comes, he can fit them into their places in a moment, and the world will wonder where they came from. And I want to hit on that. The world will wonder where they came from. And I believe the reason why is because God chooses to use ordinary people like me and like you to accomplish his purposes. God does not need us to do his deal, okay? But the cool thing is that he invites us to be a part of it. And he includes us and invites us to come along and be used by him. And a lot of examples in Scripture of individuals who simply made themselves available and God used them mightily. And to honor the time, I'm going to kind of keep going on that. The D in bold is this, determined to make a difference. Determined to be a difference maker. And it all begins with prayer. Prayer really is us talking to God, and if we'll listen, him talking to us. I've never heard God audibly speak to me, but I know this, he's spoken to my heart. The Holy Spirit is there to lead, guide, and direct us, and it starts with a prayer that really frees God up to work. And one of the greatest joys and also challenges of the Christian life is to pray and begin to ask God, what would you have for me? What is my mission? What's the game plan for my life? And then once we begin to discern that, then cooperating with God in fulfilling that. And that's a great joy. Many reasons why we should be difference makers. I'm going to hit on three real quick to round up our time. Number one, the first reason is our world depends upon it. Our world right now is in sad shape. There's so many things going on. Society, including our neighborhoods where we live, desperately need hope, love, encouragement, and support. And we can't be like islands that are untouched and also uninvolved with others. God wants us, and our world depends upon it. The question, what would the world be like if there were no good Samaritans? And you probably all remember the story in the Bible. If you don't, and I mean, there was a guy, and he got robbed and beaten and left for dead. And people are going by, and the religious leaders are just walking by and letting him lie there in the ditch. And then a good Samaritan comes along and stops and patches him up and takes him to an inn and restores him. And God wants us to be those kind of people who make a difference. And Yesterday, my wife and I drove down to Olympia to meet with a couple who had donated a wonderful painting to our auction and just to thank them and hang out. We're driving back, and all of a sudden, I-5 just comes to a complete standstill. And we're creeping along. All of a sudden, we see the problem. There was a tanker truck going south on I-5, and the back tire was still smoldering. It had caught on fire. This is a tanker truck. To the right was another big truck, 16-wheeler, pulled aside. And as we're coming up, we see the guy running, the driver from that truck, running back to his vehicle with a fire extinguisher in his hands. He had stopped, crossed over six lanes of I-5, including a barrier, and put the fire out in that guy's, the tire and the back wheel. It was like, how cool is that? I'm sitting there going, man, that's going to tie into my sermon. Good. Come on. Like, this guy stopped. He cared. That tanker could have blown up. And, 10 minutes later, the fire trucks are finally coming through the deal. But that good Samaritan had already taken care of it. I love it. It was beautiful. And then the second reason we must determine to be difference makers is it's our fulfillment in life. Our fulfillment in life depends upon it. Kind of jacked that up. What I'm saying is this: it feels good. Okay, it feels good to make a difference. And I believe this is a room full of difference makers in little, small ways and big ways. But you know what? It's fulfilling to know that God has used us in maybe some small way to make a difference for somebody else. And then the last thing, the third thing is, reason is that God expects it of us. God did not come and live his life and pay the price for us without wanting us to do some things. Now, grace is this, unmerited favor. It's all about God. Our salvation is dependent upon him and what he did, but he wants us to be actively involved. The Bible's full of difference makers. The greatest one was Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. He taught us to be difference makers. He died on a cross for our sins. And today, the cool thing is, he still forgives freely. He provides abundant life on earth. He promises eternal life for those who believe. And before leaving this earth, Jesus instructed his followers to be difference makers by going out into the world, it says, and making disciples. And I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, like I said at the beginning, because two individuals cared enough that they're willing to boldly step out in faith. Kind of a cool thing that happened. Okay, I'm at this camp. I become a Christian. I tell my buddy, he goes, now you got to start telling people, So now I'm going home and telling my mom and dad, and they're like, I said, hey, I made this commitment. They're like, okay, whatever. Told my older brother, who was really my idol, Steve, I made a commitment to Christ. And my older brother, who was 2 years above me, just kind of the guy I followed, he said, man, I can't believe you bought that lie. I can't believe you're that weak that you would need a crutch. It's the first time I ever shared my faith. And that was rough, but I just determined, I'm going to keep on this. And then I reported for football like a week later at Ingram High School, and God led me to cut out a cross that big and put it on the back of my football helmet. And some of my teammates started coming up to me, Roar, what's that on your helmet? Some award you've dreamed up for yourself? Which would tell you a little bit about me. Because we were all about putting stickers on our helmets for tackles and all that. And I said, no, it's a cross. Why do you have a cross on your helmet? I said, it's a reminder to me that I'm no longer playing for me. I'm playing to honor and glorify God. And the amazing thing is how many of my teammates came up to me one-on-one and would ask me about that cross. I went to the University of Washington on a football scholarship. First thing I did, I put a cross on my helmet. Same deal, folks. It was all about just being that example, that witness for Christ. And so, in closing, let's boldly pray and seek the Lord to be available, to be difference makers for him. And it's through, again, his leading and his gifting in our lives. And then the last thing, Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He's our example. He laid it all down. He was that servant. And William Carey, who started the Missionary Alliance Church, has said this in closing. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Isn't that good? Expect great things. So when we boldly come before the throne of grace, God, I love you. I thank you. I pray. I'm counting on you, God, to open up opportunities for me to make a difference. And God will do that and then go out and attempt those things for him. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning with this great group of people. And God, I pray that we would just leave here encouraged by your word. And Lord, just the realization, the reminder once again that you simply love us. You choose to love us. And God, I pray we would all leave today energized, encouraged, and inspired by your love. And God, that you would lead, guide, and direct us to be those difference makers in the lives of others. And we continue, Lord, to praise you. We give you all the glory. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.